you're making us move, but it sure is
over.
I think it's time to rap.
Shall we?
Sure.
Getting played back, rolling strong.
Don't be deaf.
We can get funky with the best. We're just hyping it up.
You know just how it had to be.
Just take a look around, boy.
Can't you see?
Guys are bum rushing.
Girls are just blushing.
With rocks and scratch.
While herbs on percussion.
Setting the stage for the stage to get set off. I bust a rhyme and the dance and just jet off.
So get off, because you bit off more than you can chew.
Now watch the dynamic duo do a little go-go thing.
Come on, rock and swing.
You gotta roll with Kid and play.
Now everybody sing.
This is the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show, your destination for social and political straight talk, on air, online, and on point. Get ready to join the conversation with your host, Ms. Tanya Free.
Today is Wednesday, November the 4th. Welcome to the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show. I am Tanya Free, joined by my wonderful friends, former Richmond Councilman Bill Johnson. How are you, friend?
I'm blessed, my lady. Good to see you.
Good to see you. And also with us is Dr. Joseph Robinson. How are you?
Good to be back.
Well, thank you for being here. And also back here again is Gilbert Wilkerson. How are you?
I am fine. Thank you, Tanya.
I know you're back today because your candidate won on last night.
I had to come back.
I know you did. I know you did. And also join us for the first time is Danny Lowry. How are you?
I'm great.
Well, thank you for being here.
Couldn't wait to get here.
I know you couldn't. Okay, and sitting at the social media desk and our roving correspondent is Antoinette Baylor. How are you?
I'm doing fine today.
Good. And working behind the scenes is Marcus Evans, as well as Mr. Free. Thank you all for listening today. We want to invite you to join the conversation. Your opinions and everything are welcome. Phone lines are open, 804-321-1010. Our toll-free number, 844-321-1010. Or you can text us at TanyaFree63975. And if you want to listen on your phone, you can dial 712-832-2784. Thanks to our friends at AM-FM 247 Network. Speaking of comments and what have you, you know, one of our listeners, like I said, to join the conversation, I want to offer an apology to one of our listeners for an inappropriate comment last week. Let me say that we welcome everyone's comment and opinions without criticism. So I, you know, apologize for, like I said, any appropriate comments that were made on last week. I want to do an update to one of the topics we talked about on last week, the teenager that was slammed by the resource officer last week, and, you know, we had various comments with regards to that. And thanks to our friend Scotty Reed, he sent me an article or shared comments with our listeners that this young lady was going through something, that her parents died and she was in a foster home. And, you know, going through all that, I would have thought that the teacher and administrators would have been a lot more sympathetic to what she was going through. Now, let me also say that, you know, they should have had staff to deal with that. And then I understand that charges were brought against her as well. I don't understand what is the difficulty as to how this whole situation is being handled. The teacher, there's a substitute teacher, I understand, in the classroom, and the administrator is out on paid leave. What is going on with our school system that people cannot, I mean, they can't even get a hold or a handle on this? Bill, what do you think?
Why, you start with me.
Well, just share your thoughts as to what do you think about the situation overall.
I think this is...
And why it's still lingering in, you know...
This is not unique. And my... Look, that was atrocious to see that.
Right.
If that was my daughter, I would be some kind of upset about it. But, okay? Mm-hmm. If you are in there breaking the rules from the start, if you have been told by the administrator to do, the teacher to do something about that, he goes up the food chain and bring in the principal, and you ignore him. Now you bring in Conan the Barbarian. What you expected?
Right, but you know what? Not everybody agrees with that. I mean, we had, you know, I think, Gilbert, you thought that the officer was appropriate. And there's been a rally. There are some students want this officer to come back. Mm-hmm. So...
If nothing else, to be relocated.
No, they want him back in the school. Well, they want him rehired. It's my understanding that they actually want him back in the school.
He should not have lost his job. If he got a little heavy-handed, and I agree with that. But let's understand something.
Back up to what you just said. You do not think he should have lost his job. Okay,
no, I don't
why?
Think he should have lost his job because she was defiant. I mean, she was completely defiant.
Well, she was going through something. She lost.
Well, they should have dealt with that before she got in class.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, they should
have dealt with that.
I mean,
don't make no
this.
Difference where
okay,
you're at.
Just she is a teenager.
And so what? I mean, some of the terrorists we got in our community
you
are teenagers.
You can't expect them to think logically like an adult would.
Okay, that's not true.
I'm going to disagree. I'm going to disagree to some point. You can't. He is a grown-up. He handled her as if she was a criminal. She was in school. She was a 16-year-old. Young lady in school. Yes, she was being defiant. And I'm going to say this. If it was me 16 years old at school, all you had to do was call my parents.
Right.
You see, but her parents.
They would have done the same thing to you.
No, but at least it wouldn't have been a police officer who was used to handling criminals. So the thing about it was, the way he approached her as a criminal. Even now when they're talking about it, they're saying that maybe the teacher and the administrator should have handled it a little bit differently than what they did.
That's the point I'm trying to get to.
Now the police officer only did his job.
Right.
But he did his job according to what he knows how to do or what he's
no,
been.
But he was wrong. Can I
he
get
was,
it here?
He was wrong. He was wrong the way he did it. But the thing about it is, I think he could have handled it a little bit.
Yeah,
well, he broke protocol. Danny?
Yeah, this is absolutely absurd here. You saying that the officer did his job, he was right in what he did?
Well, no. I don't think that looking at it was
you said he
was
shouldn't
really
have lost
terrible.
His. You said he shouldn't have lost,
shouldn't
his,
have lost
job.
His job.
Well, no, they said he lost his job because he broke protocol.
Protocol.
Yeah.
So that means he did not do his job.
No,
the point I'm getting to is that the teacher didn't do her job, nor did the administrator. Those two persons that I'm focusing on today. We already covered the officer and the teenager.
Explain that.
The teacher didn't do her job because the fact of the matter that the child was just texting, she could have just overlooked that matter until after the class, and then on top of that, like you said, Dr. Robinson, should have called being that she didn't have any parents, whoever the foster care administrator at the facility called them to have them to deal with it or come to the school and deal with it, opposed to a resource officer.
How long does it take for the parents or the administrators to get to the school? Is it a couple
well,
hours?
Probably until after the class was over.
And then the other students.
And even if this teacher had finished the class and the child sat there until the parents or whoever's in charge get to the school, she wouldn't hurt anybody. She wouldn't hurt anybody, and then on top of that, it would not have been a disruption.
Okay. So can we back up a minute, please?
Okay.
Listen. Number one, it was a young lady, the only person with some guts or heart in the whole classroom. The young lady stood up and started protecting the young lady, okay?
Right, that's the second student.
She sat there, and she watched the whole thing.
Everybody else did, too.
Okay. She said that the young lady was very quiet. She picked up her phone like this and laid it back down when the teacher said something to her.
Exactly.
Everybody is making it seem like she was throwing chairs,
right.
throwing apples
someone.
Around
right.
the room,
she,
screaming and trying
she
to
was
fight
a menace
everybody.
To society,
let me say something. There's no justification to have a police officer in a classroom handling situations like that. You can't tell me that when you were in school that from time to time somebody would sit there hard-headed when the teacher says something to them. They could have got the guidance counselor. What is the counselor for?
Right.
You could have gotten it. You could have cleared it.
You
could have cleared it.
Y'all have not. No, last time you've been in high school.
It's been over 40 years.
Well, then you need to go.
No.
Let me jump in for a second. Let me jump in for a second.
Okay, wait a minute, everybody.
No, but
okay.
I haven't finished.
Okay, go ahead.
See what I'm saying? But you talking about me being in high school. That doesn't matter. We're talking about this situation here. You see what I'm saying? So when that officer came in there, before they called the officer, that administrator, that assistant principal, whatever he was.
Principal.
He should have asked the students to leave the class.
That's, I agree.
Okay? Mm-hmm. She doesn't have an audience now. to get attention. Okay. Then he can say, listen, if you don't leave the class, maybe something in this realm, if you don't leave the class, we're going to suspend you from school or expel you from school, whatever. That child probably would have gotten up and went on out of the class.
Well,
you don't need no police officer to come
in
there.
Yeah, you do. Let me go back one thing.
Okay.
When we were going to school, we did not have to go to metal detectors. We did not have guns being carried in school.
That's
and
right.
knives.
That's
we
right.
didn't have the gang problem they got in school today.
Okay.
You didn't have kids sitting there popping off because they on Ritalin or some other kind of wild drugs that these teachers have to deal with.
Okay.
If I tell you, that's what I mean right now.
Okay.
If you can break the rules and disrupt my class, well, you let Shaquita do it.
No, she didn't disrupt the class. Okay, hold on a second. Let me go to Gilbert. Gilbert, get in here. Jump in.
Well, if you look at the class, if you look at the video, all the kids are sitting there watching. Nobody's rooting her on, so somebody knows she's wrong. If the administration felt that the police officer was needed, then like we talked about last week, time was on the show, then you got to the point where they needed a police officer. Why do you think police officers are even in that school in the first place? It's because of what goes on in the school.
That was not a police officer.
Okay. Dr. Robinson?
Well, why did the police officers get
fit? I work with high school kids after school, and they would volunteer for a choir. And I would go in, and I would teach them, and we would hang out. I would hang out with them. And we used to take a trip to New York every year. And every year we take this trip, we would take two busloads of high school kids. And the man who was sponsoring these trips and the children, he would say to each one of them on the bus, we're going to New York. If you get in trouble, you're on your own. Don't call me, call your parents to come to New York to get you. We did this for four years. These were kids in Armstrong High School and out of Huguenot High School. Now, two different neighborhoods, but yet they were kids. Every year that we took this trip, we never had one ounce of problems out of any of them, stealing or anything. These young people, they didn't have chaperones. These were high school kids. So when they went out and when they did things and they came back, we had never had a problem.
I'm never talking about broad brushing all the kids. I'm not talking about that.
But
you got some that, baby boy, you need to pay attention to.
I agree with that.
I got something to stand up to me. As big as I am, stand up to me, you know, and say things to me.
There's a video on my Facebook page that I pulled off couple of days ago. It's about this boy in the classroom, and there was a little small black teacher in there. And this girl was trying to hold him back from messing with this teacher.
Yeah,
she's just sitting there like a little bit little girl.
Yeah.
He picks up a chair
and
stands over her head. He's like, going to drop it. And she sits there and stares at it.
Yeah.
Now, what would you do in a situation like that? Would you say, everybody clear the courtroom, clear the classroom?
No, that's when you need security.
Well, I think it goes a little differently.
No,
we have teachers that cannot handle the students or the classroom. We have a problem with that.
Well, I know in most of the places here, you got police officers in school.
Yes.
That's a problem as well.
No.
Because our kids are not learning because they're disrupting the classroom.
Exactly.
You don't think that's an issue?
You can't have a security guard in a school. You can't have a security guard in the school. He doesn't have the authority to arrest. He doesn't have the authority to do much. Only police officers have the authority to take action.
He's a police officer.
What was that
but
guy?
But they're saying they don't need police
He was hired by the sheriff.
He was a resource officer.
Yeah.
Obviously, he was a deputy.
He was a deputy, right.
Yeah, but they said they were resource officers.
They call him resource officer,
but he still was a deputy. He still was a deputy sheriff.
Right.
Okay. I just want to clarify.
We can't live in utopia. I'm going to tell you, and we need to pay attention, okay, that there are assaults in not only against teachers but against students.
Yeah, but with
let me say the reason why there's a problem with that is because if this was in another neighborhood, an affluent neighborhood, do you think this incident would have occurred?
We don't know. We can assume.
Yes.
Bill, the schools that you're talking about, do you think they have police officers in those schools? Okay, Bill, I have to disagree with
you. They call resource officers.
Totally disagree. Well, look, let me say something.
I disagree with you, Bill.
Let's get
they don't have teachers that are intimidated and dealing with the situation.
Yes, they do.
I just know.
No, let me say
they haven't been in Rico County.
Can I say something?
They haven't been in Chesterfield. Police officers in school.
To me, we keep going back to when I was in school and this, that, et cetera. That's not what the question is. The question is about the little girl that was dragged, and Tanya was saying, asking about, you know, what did we think about that, okay? And, you know, you jumping everything, you're saying that she deserved what she got.
I didn't say that.
You said he was doing his job when he threw across the floor?
What I'm saying, that was really inappropriate to even see something like that. But from what it has been taken to, you haven't looked at what's going on. And let me make one point.
Let me make my point. But what I'm saying is, because she was sitting there like this.
She wasn't sitting there like that. She wasn't.
When he approached her,
you were not there. I was looking at the video. You thinking like they're thinking now. They don't think the videos are real anymore. The sheriff came on there and said, you can't, the video don't always give it all.
It don't.
Okay. But that's only if you get missed something in the beginning. See, that's going to be another talking point for them. Mm-hmm. Anytime you have a video, first thing they're going to be saying, I've heard this more than once. Well, a video don't tell it all.
It doesn't.
This is going to be an excuse all the way around. This young girl, the video I saw, the young girl was sitting here in this chair when that man came in that young girl was sitting here like this. That man came over and asked her something. She answered or whatever. He started snatching around, throwing around like something.
Let Bill respond before we go to break.
Okay. First of all, we have a chip on our shoulder, and justifiably so. But there is lawlessness in our homes. You've got parents that can't do nothing with these doggone teenagers. You got lawlessness in our communities by our own children.
So that goes outside of that. I'm telling you, we got a problem with these young people. Yeah, but we know
we're talking about one incident, and not only that, we have a problem with the school system, period. Because like I said, the original point that I made is that the teacher couldn't handle the situation, nor the administration.
Well, the teacher's not allowed to touch him either. Nobody's
well, she didn't
to
have
do.
To touch the child. But, no, my point was she didn't have to touch the child. She should have carried on with the lesson with the other students because the child was not hurting anyone.
No. Everybody trying to make it seem like she was throwing chairs around the room, jumping around,
I said
screaming.
She wasn't hurting. Okay.
My God.
Okay. Is it time for a break? Because we're not going to be able to resolve this.
No.
Tanya's Praise Break is sponsored this week by DNS Cleaning. Jesus Be a Fence Around Us by Fred Hammond.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just take it back a little bit. 1, 2, 3, say. You might as well go on ahead and get your dance on. Jesus, be a fence
all around me, everywhere.
I'm asking you. I know you can,
yes, Lord.
I know you will,
yes, Lord.
Fight my battle,
yes, Lord.
I keep still,
yes, Lord. Lord, be a fence all around me every day.
Can you say one more time? I be a fence. Say,
be a fence
all
around me.
I see it, I see it. I'm a beautiful.
If you're the parent of a child with behavioral challenges that has been suspended, expelled, or just not able to make it in a traditional school setting, there is an alternative. Call the Metropolitan Day School today. Grades K through 12. Call 804-321-2595.
Hi, I'm Chocolate Chip, and there's never enough time for everything in a day, and the last thing you want to worry about is having to clean your home or business. Let DNS Cleaning Services make it a little easier for you. We do the work, so you don't have to, and there's no job too big or too small. We offer full-service cleaning for residential and commercial properties, including floor cleaning, stripping and waxing, carpet cleaning, and more. Our staff is professional, courteous, and trained for the highest level of customer satisfaction. Call us today at 804-272-3138. That's 804-272-3138.
If you're the parent of a child with behavioral challenges that has been suspended, expelled, or just not able to make it in a traditional school setting, there is an alternative. Call the Metropolitan Day School today. Grades K through 12. Call 804-321-2595.
What is New Orleans Talk Network? It's today's hottest topics with an added flair. You get ready because the conversation will be hot and better yet, mobile. Download the New Orleans Talk Network app available on Android, iPhone, iPad, and you can listen to us on the web at www.neworleanstalknetwork.com. Write down our talk line at 504-341-TALK. That's 504-341-8255. Interactive and worldwide. That's what we are. Join in on the real conversation and tell a friend about the New Orleans Talk Network.
Hey, this is Chocolate Chip again, and small behavioral health practices are working harder than ever. It's time for a new perspective. Healthcare commercial billing specialists can help you manage your practice, file your claims, and get you paid in record time. The first step is always the hardest. With HCBS Billing, we make it easy and simple for you to start. Thousands of providers are already getting paid on time. It's time you get paid, too. Sign up today at hcbsbilling.com or call us at 866-647-6267. That's 866-647-6267.
Reclaiming the love, WNXP 95.5 FM, Greenville's People Powered Radio. Reclaiming the love.
Conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free
844-321-1010. I want to welcome our friend Ethea Wanganza, founder of WMXP FM in Greenville, South Carolina, who has firsthand information with regards to the situation in South Carolina. Hi, Athea, how are you?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Oh, we're doing okay, trying to figure out as to what the heck is going on with these resource officers, the teachers, and everything in the system. It's just unbelievable.
Totally. And I'm glad that you pointed out, and some of the other friends there, that this is not an isolated incident. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's actually an epidemic across this country where kids are being brutalized by in-school cops I refuse to use these euphemisms, safety officers, resource officers. They're in-school cops who are terrorizing, waging reigns of terror against helpless, vulnerable children, ranging in age from 5 and 6 years old all the way through high school.
Oh, my goodness.
Studies have shown the breadth of mayhem that has been wreaked, from emotional distress to kids being beat up. One notable case is a kid, and the majority of the kids are black, most frequently male, was in a coma for 52 days. Other kids have been murdered, have died as a result of the brutality of these in-school cops. It is not a new instance. And for those who will say that school students now are different from students when we went to school, I can only say that I'm glad not to be a student, not to be a child, whether student or not, in this country, in this day and age, particularly a child of color. Now, first of all, with regard to Shakara, who was the baby sister who was brutalized by Ben Fields, 600-pound bench presser, and person who at this point is suspected of abusing steroids, as is apparently common in among law enforcement personnel. Shakara is not an orphan, although it is true that she is in foster care.
Right.
Two things about foster care. One is that going being put into foster care is in and of itself taking out of one's family and familiar, regardless of how harsh those circumstances may be, is a traumatic experience. Secondly, to be in foster care, with in more instances than not, and we have no direct information as to the level of competency generally, cultural competency specifically, of these particular foster parents, I can tell you as an attorney who practiced family law in South Carolina courts for over 35 years and fought the Department of Social Services and foster care tooth and nail, more likely than not, the foster care parents are not only not generally competent, but culturally competent as well. It is a form of trafficking in children where people make a living off of the majority black children that have been shoveled into foster care.
I agree with you on a form of
the foster care track is one of the pipelines to the prison system. Most children who are forced into foster care, as opposed to their families, the funds, foster care funds being made available to their families and to provide resource support to those children, do not wind up finishing school and to a significant degree wind up first in the juvenile and then the adult punishment system.
Ophelia, Dr. Robinson was saying something just now.
Yeah, because I was a foster care parent, so I understand.
I can't hear him. Turn up his mic.
Can you hear him now?
I was a former foster care parent, so I totally agree with what you're saying. My ex-wife and I, we did it for about a year. So a lot of the things that situations that you come in, you're limited as a foster parent to what you can say and what you can do, and a lot of the children, young people that you might get, it's not guaranteed that they're going to be with you any length of time, because the young lady that was with us, she was only with us for about 2.5 months.
How old was she?
She was 16.
Wow.
And she disrespected me. She disrespected my wife, And she disrespected me repeatedly on a constant basis. And I was limited to how I could handle her or how I could deal with her. That's why
that
I said.
Difficult. Wow.
And well, so what happened was, I left to go. I had to go play at another church, and I left her with my wife. And my wife used to take up for her and say, you know, she just going through some things until she cussed my wife out. And then once she cussed my wife, because I kept saying she has to go.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spend my money because, you know, you don't get, you know, we didn't get anything for this young lady. So it wasn't a matter of the money. It wasn't a matter of money. It was just the fact that we just needed a better place for her. But when she cussed my wife out, then my wife said she has to go.
Right. Okay.
Well, I take a little bit of offense to the fact that you say that foster parents are incompetent. Because our kids suffer the most because we are unwilling to take our kids into the family that have been victimized by the system. When you break up families and mothers are having children and they are drug dependent and they can't provide and the fathers are incarcerated and can't survive and then they are forced into the foster care system, number one, there's not enough money for the showers that they take and the food that they eat. And,
it's not.
And then you talk about having to be disrespected and protected. And these kids know they have rights and there are no consequences for these kids.
Let me tell you my own situation. We had a foster care child for about 4 years, and I strenuously wanted to work and get this girl right. And she, the more I kept her, the more disagreeable. She was about 12 or 13 then.
Okay,
she came home one day. We sent her out to a Christian camp. She came back with hiccups around her neck. And I said, what is that? She said, oh, that's where you beat me at. Well, you know what I did? I packed her clothes up and I dropped her off the next day because I wasn't going to go to jail for a lie against me. But what she's talking about, if it's talking about, is when you meet a kid on the street or driving a car or whatever, you don't know whether that kid is a foster child. There's nothing on his head that says, I'm a foster care child, I've been abused. There's nothing yet. If you are a teacher or law enforcement officer, you come to that child, it's like, okay, I'm the law, and this is what I'm supposed to do. I don't have time to ask you, are you a child? Was your mom? Are you having some problems? Are you on medication? They don't go through that whole gamut of asking you, because when the police are called because you are disruptive. And they don't go into a litigate. That's something for a counselor to do.
You're talking about general. You're making general references in regarding a specific case. And if you'll allow me to finish, I will address that point.
Okay. Go ahead, Phil.
And that is that not only should Officer Slam, as he is commonly known in the school, for being so brutal. Not only did Officer Slam, but the teacher, the disciplinary administrator, and the principal, and the part-time counselor that they may have had, all should have known that this child was a special needs child, had an IEP, an individual educational prescription, and protocol that they were to follow in the instance that there was any difficulty.
We're
not talking about some kid out in the street. We're talking about a child who is in school in a purportedly safe environment where all of the adults have beyond their ordinary and local parentis obligations have therapeutic obligations to this particular child, especially.
Why wasn't
none of that was addressed? None of that was met.
Well, why was none the police officer the only one fired? How come all the four people that were there who never instructed the police officer? How come they weren't fired? But the police officer.
That's a demand that we are making. The Coalition for Justice for Shakara and Nia Kennedy is making the demand that they are all fired.
Well, Ifeanyi, talk about the rally you all had.
I had just gotten back from the Rise Up October demonstration against police murder, murdering citizens, that is, that was held in New York on the prior weekend, when I learned This instance, I got back Sunday night, and I learned about it on Monday morning, and I began immediately contacting people to find out who anybody was doing about it, the NAACP, the ACLU, the Urban League, women's organizations, who is doing something about this child being brutalized. By Tuesday evening, it was clear that people were passing the buck. So Wednesday morning, I said, I'm going to Columbia to buttonhole people to find out who's planning to do anything, because another weekend should not be passed without some outcry from the community. I had talked to a couple people from Charleston who were associated with Black Lives Matter and the New Black Panther Party, who indicated that some of the students at the school were talking about doing a walkout on Friday, this past Friday. And I said, okay, well, that's good. They should have the necessary support, the lawyers, bail bondsmen, and parental buy-in if they're going to do that, because these kids are, you know, they're all minors, and therefore you can't be encouraging them to engage in direct action without making sure that there's an infrastructure to support them. But that there needed to be something bigger than that, and that needed to be a rally on Saturday. So I began immediately recruiting people to assist in doing that.
How many people did y'all have in attendance?
I'm sorry?
How many people did you all have in attendance? You get a good turnout?
I mean, that's why I'm giving you all this background, because we started on... I began on Wednesday evening. I had a young lady to go and apply the next morning for the permit for the state house. And that whole time we had myself and another person, Brother Kevin Gray, who is a longtime resident and political activist nationally, but lives in Columbia, to help to pull together the pieces, including negotiating with law enforcement, sheriff, and police department to try and minimize the confrontation with them. So we had a turnout of roughly about 300 people in that short period of time. And it was a broad cross-section. We had people who came from throughout the region. I had people who were calling me from New York who were ready to come down, North Carolina, to come down and to assist and to participate, and will be with the next upcoming event. But we had people from Atlanta, Florida.
Ophelia, hold on. We got to take a break, okay?
Sure.
Since you been looking for your friend, the one you let hit it and never called you again. Remember when he told you he was about to bend your mans? Yeah. You act like you and him, they give him a little trim to begin. Now you think you really gonna pretend like you wasn't down and you called him again. Plus when you give it up so easy, you ain't even fooling him. If you did it then, and you probably can. Talking out your neck saying you're a Christian. I'm a slam sleeping with the gin. Now that was the sin that did Jezebel in. Who you gonna tell when the repercussions spin? Showing off your ass cause you thinking it's trend, girlfriend. Let me break it down for you again. You know I only say it cause I'm truly genuine. Don't be a hard rock when you really are a gem, baby girl. Respect is just the minimum. Think you still defending them now. Lauren is only human. Don't think I haven't been through the same predicament. Let it sit inside your head like a million women in Philly pen. It's silly when girls sell their souls because of sin. Look at where you be in. Hair weaves like Europeans. Fake nails done by Koreans. Come again.
Second verse. verses dedicated to the man. More concerned with his rims and his Timbs and his women. Him and his man come in the club like hooligans. Don't care who they defend, popping yang.
Like you got yang.
Let's not pretend. The one that pack pissed out by the waist, man. Crissed out by the casement. Still the name of his basement. The pretty face man claiming that they did a bid, man. Need to take care of their 3 or 4 kids. Been the face in court case when the child support late. Money taking, heartbreaking. Now you wonder why women hate me. The sneaky silent man. The punk domestic violence man. The quick to shoot the semen. Stop acting like boys and be men. How you gon' win when you ain't right within? How you gon' win when you ain't right within? How you gon' win when you ain't right within? Come again. Yo, yo, come again. The red train, come again.
This is the Tanya Free and Friends Network, coast to coast, on air, online, and on point.
Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
Text ADVERTISE to 63975 or call 844-321-1010 to see how Freedom Marketing can put your business on the map for a lot less than you may think. Call 844-321-1010 or text ADVERTISE to 63975 today.
Has your health insurance changed, or is it about to change? Are you, or did you move to a different state, change jobs, get a divorce, get married, or have a baby? Then you know what? You may qualify for a special health insurance enrollment period for the affordable Obamacare plans. And to find the right plan, you can get free help right now from Health Markets. They'll help you choose the right plan from over 140 different companies, plus help you maximize your Obamacare free government subsidies. Why pay a penny more than you have to for health insurance? Call anytime, day or night, to learn more about the special enrollment period to qualify for Obamacare. Here's our number. 800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. That's 800-296-1140. Not available in all states.
Hey there, Big John Trimble here. Thanks to Tanya for freeing up the time to allow me to talk about the Big John Trimble Show. Heard Monday through Friday mornings, 6 to 9, right here on WCLM Radio. Yes, sir, after 57 years, I'm still on the radio and 24-7 on BigJohnTrimble.com. It all originates from our backyard studio over here in Verona. We play a wide variety of requested music from Fats Domino, Chuck Berry, and Donna Washington to George Jones, George Strait, and Loretta Lynn, along with the trivia contest and over-the-fence chats with our listeners from across the Richmond area, across the USA, and sometimes foreign countries. The Big John Trimble Show. It's the most fun you'll ever have with your clothes on.
join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll-free coast to coast. That's toll-free 844-321-1010.
Athee, before we go, a quick question. Were the charges dropped against Shakara?
No charges have been dropped at this point at all.
What was she charged?
And that is one of the demands that is being made.
What was she charged with?
Pardon?
What was she charged with for sitting
in
the chair?
She was charged with disturbing school, which is a common charge that is waged across this country.
I mean, wasn't she just sitting in a chair? I mean, I saw the video. She was just sitting in the chair that I saw.
But you know what? And I would urge you all to Google school resource officers, terror, violence. There are studies across the board that show not only are black girls 6 times more likely to be suspended and expelled from school than white males, 5 times more than their white female counterparts, 3 times more than black males. They are also more severely punished and criminalized than any other group.
Well, you know what, Steve, I'm glad. Wait a minute. I think I'm glad you brought that up because that was one of the comments I made earlier. That had Shakara been white, this incident, I do not believe, would have occurred.
It wouldn't have happened.
Would not have happened.
No.
Would not have happened. Let me. I know that you're wanting to move on, but let me just say hit on a couple other points before you do.
Okay.
And that is also with regard to black girls in foster care are over medicated even to a greater degree than our black males.
Mm-hmm.
Black girls are viewed as an inherent threat and are the subject of all kinds of drug experimentation. Also, some of the students, like the fact you've heard about this school walkout was supposed to be
right
in favor of Ben Fields. People that I had recruited from earlier, younger people from Charleston, New Black Panther Party and Black Lives Matter were supposed to be in touch with the students and supporting them in the effort to organize their own walkout, which they reportedly were supposed to do on Friday. Our people who were supposed to be assisting the students failed to follow through with those students and agreed to promoting what was represented as a national walkout, which also was not advanced. The school administration took advantage of the lapse and laxity of this aspect or element of our campaign and organized its own walkout. So we had a couple of days before Friday, had texts that were going out saying, we want to show our support for Ben Fields. So there's going to be a walkout, and everybody who supports Ben Fields wear a white T-shirt. Well, on Friday, the school announced on the PA system that we're going to be able to walk out 15 minutes, and here's your 15 minutes. They had already called the press. They had the kids, primarily white, although there were a couple black males in there, since he was a football player. And this area is rife with what I have advanced as a diagnosis of Stockholm Syndrome, and I hope other people will continue to pick it up. The kids were ambushed. The kids with the T-shirts with support Ben Fields or free Ben Fields were put at the front of the line, and the other kids, a third of them just trying to get out of class,
right,
another third who actually supported Ben Fields, and still a third who supported the girls. But they were not allowed to talk to the press, so there was no way for determining who was who, and it all looked as if there was support for Ben Fields. There were only about 40 Max 50 kids who came out and were involved in that, and that was a total setup. Okay. I would also point out the fact that this area, you've got three prisons, you've got the head of the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division and Academy, you've got a military base, you've got the headquarters,
wasn't this just an individual juvenile
diagnosis center. So you've got a prison military industrial complex,
ma'am,
which is a major employer for everybody in that area.
Okay. Gilbert has a question for you. Go ahead, Gilbert.
Wasn't this just an individual incident, and you can't use the same
all
those schools?
No.
Are you saying that all...
A 40% suspension and expulsion rate.
That may be true, man. I'm not arguing that. I'm not arguing that 40% suspension. I'm saying that this one incident was an individual incident that happened to one girl that...
Wait a minute, let him finish.
That you can't use the same, go through all the whole school and say we shouldn't have any police officer or any discipline in the school because of this one incident. And I'm saying it's unjustifiable. There's just one incident that you're dealing with, right?
It's not one incident. That's why he is called Officer Slam. Let me talk about when this whole business of in-school cops began in response to Columbine. After Columbine, when the school in Columbine was redone, the principal there was asked about putting cops in the school, was also asked about putting metal detectors in the school. He refused both of them. His position being that children who behave in these self and other destructive fashions are sick, not criminals. So needless to say, he's not popular with the NRA and other gun toters. But in Columbine, there were no and are no cops, and there was an increase in the number of counselors. One of our demands is more counselors, cops out. Law enforcement is nothing but a waste bin for otherwise unfit, unemployable, primarily white male folks from the military.
Need
them out of our schools. Most of the schools in which cops are employed are schools with black and brown kids.
Okay, that's
not
good.
White schools.
Have you seen any footage on YouTube, Facebook, or anywhere where kids, students in high schools have brutalized and wrestled and fought the teachers? Have you seen any of that? Because from my conversation,
let him finish.
As though these kids are not doing anything and police resources are not even needed. And I don't see that in the evidence where I see.
Counselors.
So you think the counselors would be able to handle some of these kids in school?
Absolutely. That's what they're trained to do. And that's another part of the problem is you've got a row of incompetent teachers in those classrooms.
Okay.
Incompetent.
Ophelia, we got to go because we got another break coming up. But we thank you so very much for sharing with us, and we're going to keep our eyes on the story as it continues to unravel.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Gilbert, I know you had a comment. Go ahead.
You got me so wound up here.
I think her generalization does not apply to this specific conversation of what we're talking about now. She took it away from what we actually, even though she is right there, we are talking about this specific isolated incident, and our comments towards her is only based on this specific isolated situation.
She has firsthand knowledge of the situation because of the rallies and everything she's put together.
Let me just say one thing.
Go ahead, Bill.
Knowing that Officer Slam is there makes me feel better. You see what I'm saying? If I'm a kid in the fourth grade and I'm being brutalized and they're taking my lunch money and they treat me like the I can go stand next to Officer Slam.
Well, let me ask you this. As a parent, does Officer Slam being there make you feel better?
Yes.
You would not be upset or offended that you have to have that you have
schools.
Have you seen some of these?
Let Danny get in.
I want to ask a simple question. In all reality, how would you guys have felt if that was you saw that video and that was your daughter that was treated that way? Would you be angry?
Yes.
And
yeah.
What action would you have taken?
First of all, you would,
that young girl, that young girl is wearing a cast.
Okay.
And that young girl had bruised or damaged ribs.
And she has her skin scratched.
I'm sorry.
If she was an honor roll student in the choir and she was a prima donna, I would be thoroughly upset. But if she was one of them ones out here running around,
but you don't know that. We're talking about this young lady, how she was sitting in the chair.
Who is she?
So you can't assume anything negative about her because you don't know.
All right, let's go to the phones. Earl, how are you, friend?
Bring it, Earl.
How are you, Earl? Is Earl there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, that this is a great dialogue, and being president of the PTA, Parent Teachers Association,
right,
at Jacob Adams, I want to try to direct us into a collective group of parents making decisions, because it's good to hear what y'all are saying, and even the sister and whatnot. But my point is that I'm not blaming nothing. I'm saying the parents need to be more active in the PTA to address these issues. And my brother is correct that the first level is to deal with the counselor. The second level should be dealing with, because the teachers should know the particular characteristics of those children. Mm-hmm. And not the first day, the second day, but they should have gone to. Once they know that, then, like my brother said, they have an action plan in place in order to address the virus, different issues that
That's
might
right.
arise.
That's
but
right.
the parents must get involved
there
through the PTA because they're able to send their legislative representatives down to the legislative body to make the issues. So the PTA, for me, is a nucleus where we need to direct and force the parents to go to, instead of us getting on Tanya Free and Friends and all of us passionately giving our, you know, feelings and how we would because of our child and whatnot. It just need to be the PTA addressing this issue, how the parents want the issues handled, and that's where we need to go.
Can I say something, Earl, real quick? Can I say something?
Go ahead.
You know, you speak about the parents. You know, if it was back in the old days, in the 70s and 60s, 70s, early 80s or something, that could possibly happen. But you have to understand, you have parents now that's 14, 15, 16 years old. These people are not going to no PTAs. You understand what I'm saying?
I'm gonna get off the line. I'm with you, my brother. But see, this is what I'm saying. There's many ways to address this. We don't need to say, well, there's 14 and 9. That's not our problem. Our problem is put it out there. Those that will come will come. Then you put something in a place to address those that's not. There are children that's not. Then they're identified. Then the teachers can go and deal with the parents directly. But you must start someplace.
Well,
it before you start it. Start it. Isolate those that are not receptive to what we're saying. I'm with you, my brother. We're not fighting it.
Thank you, Earl.
Then deal with them separately.
Okay. Sounds good. We got to go to Black Talk Radio commentary from Scotty Reed.
17 and a bar by the roadside. Just relax. Don't you let those other boys fool you. Follow the Afro-head dude. Song. You go ahead, let your head
This is Scotty Reed, founder of the Black Talk Media Project and Black Talk Radio Network. We recently launched a new website found at ProxyRacism.com. The website ProxyRacism.com will feature news stories about proxy racism and those that are willingly or perhaps are unwittingly helping to advance elements of the system of global racial injustice. Visitors to the website in the near future will be able to submit stories for consideration that illustrate the problem of proxy racism among non-white people. Visitors will also vote on who will win the Butter Biscuit Award, which will be a monthly affair. Our first story comes to you from ProxyRacism.com, and it is about the Gaston County, North Carolina NAACP chapter president, who is also the first ever Butter Biscuit Award nominee. The Gaston Gazette reported that a Gaston County, North Carolina sheriff's captain is being apologetic now that a photo has surfaced on social media in which she is wearing blackface under the guise of being Bob Marley for Halloween. Gaston County NAACP chapter president Chris Thomason appears to have met with the sheriff behind closed doors, and a deal was apparently worked out whereas Thomason would attempt to sell the offended residents on the changing meaning of white people in the South wearing blackface. But that is not all. Check out the story on ProxyRacism.com, and remember, don't be a tool of racism. This has been Scotty Reed of the Black Talk Media Project.
This is the Tanya Free and Friends Network, coast to coast, on air, online, and on point.
Calling all dreadheads, are you tired of your locks being dry, limp, and weighed down? Do your locks have an odor, or you have unbearable itchy scalp? Are your locks thinning or falling off? If so, you need to visit Dreadhead Studio, offering full service lock maintenance, starter locks, kid services, weekly specials, and more. Try their online booking for your next appointment. For more information, call 804-601-8216. That's 804-601-8216. Or visit DreadheadStudio.com. Located at 133 East Belt Boulevard, Suite M in South Richmond.
This is Tanya Free. If it's Monday, it's time for Let's Get Busy with your host, King Salim Kalfani. 4 to 6 p.m. here on the heart and soul of the city, WCLM 1450 AM. Kick off the week with KSK, Commonwealth Consultation, LLC, for two power-packed hours of news you can use, feature guests, cutting-edge commentary, and more. Let's get busy with King Salim Kalfani every Monday at 4.
WCLM 1450 AM, Highland Springs, Richmond. The soul of the city is WCLM 1450 AM.
This is Tanya Free. Did you know that stroke is reportedly the third leading cause of death in the U.S.? Recognizing the signs of a stroke and getting someone to the hospital quickly is key to reducing the damage. If someone suddenly loses the ability to speak or move an arm or leg on one side, or facial paralysis on one side, call 911 immediately. Know the signs and act in time. Tanya's Medical Minute is sponsored by the Capital Area Health Network, the heart of the community.
Join Tanya Free and friends at TanyaFree.com.
Hi, I'm Brian Taylor with Send Out Cards. Send Out Cards is a card and gifting business like none other. This product will help you with prospecting. It will also help you with customer retention. Your friends and family will love the gifts and cards that you send to them. For more information on this amazing product, text Send Out Cards, all one word, 63975. Again, I'm Brian Taylor with Send Out Cards. Text Send Out Cards, all one word, 63975.
Give it up. Feels so good to be together.
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free 844-321-1010.
Okay, let's shift gears and talk about presidential debates. We've had three Republican and one Democrat debates thus far. And my question to you all, have they addressed the important issues that you want to have them address? Gilbert?
No. Look, it's too early in the game to address anything right now.
I'm surprised you said that.
I'm serious. It's just why?
I am really surprised.
No, because the Republicans are not saying nothing. He can't say nothing.
Look. Well, at least he's being honest. I expect him to say they address abortion. I expect you to say
But the group of clowns they got, they can't say nothing good for nothing.
But why would you call them clowns, though?
Because that's what they are. It's a clown show.
Define
why you call them clowns.
Go ahead.
Because they have not.
Let me finish. Don't make an accusation if you don't have this to back it up.
I listen to that stuff carefully since I was 12 years old.
What makes them a clown?
They have not said anything with substance.
Clowns don't
nothing.
Talk. Clowns act.
Yeah, they
you don't have any substance.
They are buffoons.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Before y'all
get going,
let me go back to the original question. Gilbert, what do you want to hear them address? What issues are that you want to hear them talk about?
Well, we talked about abortion. Traditional marriage. For those what? Are the main things that my convictions that they talk about. The economy, we can always have a problem with the economy, Democrats and Republicans. What else is that? I want strong defense, of course. Anything else kind of irrelevant. I mean, I want a strong president to be able to run this country.
And wait a minute. What are you saying about president?
I think the question was to Gilbert.
Go ahead.
I think a strong president to lead this country and lead it as a nation, as the number one top nation in the world.
Okay.
Not bow down to Putin. Or anybody else.
Okay. Let me shift over here to Danny. Woo. Go ahead, Danny.
Yeah, I don't know what you mean by you need a strong president.
No, but you
wait a minute. Let him answer. Let him respond.
What are you saying? Break that down to me. You saying you want substance. You tell me, what do you mean by you want a strong president? Tell me what makes President Obama weak. Because that's what you were insinuating.
Yeah, I'm sweet because what has he done?
What hasn't he done?
He's done a lot of things. You're not keeping up with
him.
Tell me.
Well, I tell you what. I'll explain it to you.
Tell me.
I tell you what.
Okay.
He brought this economy back from total destruction.
Okay, that's one. I agree.
Wait a minute. No,
okay, that's a major issue.
Wait a minute.
Okay, wait a minute. Let Dr. Robinson.
And then you have to understand that he's not the president of whatever part of the United States.
Get one. Okay, get
one. Oh, no, hold on.
Wait a minute, Gilbert, let him finish.
He's the president of all people. So that means that any decision that he's making, he has to make it for all people. But the problem is you have the Republicans who had decided from day one that he was elected that they were going to say no to everything he does.
I'm sorry.
So it makes it easier.
I'm sorry.
It makes it easier for anybody that's on that side or conservative, has a conservative mentality, make it to say he's a president of nothing. He has done many things, but there were things that he tried to do that he was hindered from doing.
I'm sorry, you have your facts
President Obama.
No, I don't have my facts
wrong. Let me share with you.
Okay, right,
you
think I'm wrong? Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. Let me go to the phones. Reggie, how are you, friend?
Hey, Tanya. How you doing today?
I'm doing okay.
You know, people have their own agenda. When I hear people say President Obama ain't done anything, then that tells that person has their own agenda. And that's fine. You can have your own agenda, but let's not let the facts get in the way of the argument. I mean, it depends on what side of the fence that you want to have the conversation as far as what he's done. So everybody's side of their opinion. So, you know, whatever. But two things that disturbed me, Tanya. One, this past election, it seems like, again, and I'm talking about locally, that we were told in the community that when the bike race was going to come up,
mm-hmm.
when the Washington football team was going to come up, all this revenue was going to come inside, but it didn't happen. But yet, we were told yesterday that we need paper ballots because we're afraid that somebody's going to hack the system.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, you know, maybe I'm boo-boo the fool, but it seems like there's a lot of fear-mongering going on around here. You know, we've had elections many times before. And in the interest of anonymous now has said that we're going to go ahead let you know the Republicans who are Klansmen. I'm like, well, hell, we've been knowing that. What else is new?
Yeah, because they're in the Democratic Party, too.
You know, so all I'm saying again, that money has a way of making people, and Gospel Joe knows that we talked about this years ago, my friend, that money has a way of controlling things. And when you don't put the money behind a candidate like the Tea Party did, which now they call it the Liberty Party, but really the White Citizen Council, that's a whole other story again. People want to sit back and pick and choose, but if you don't put the money behind your candidate, then guess what? You're not going
to
get anything.
And let me add to that, Reggie, and also, too, if people don't go and vote. Because I was real surprised that Gekert did not pull out the election on yesterday. And I think it was one particular ad that I think, in my opinion, when I saw it, I'm like, oh, that's going to backfire. And like
I said,
was
that talking about the gun ad he did?
It was the one he did calling Sturdivant a Tea Party supporter or something. Those lines. And when he said that, I thought, oh, this is going to backfire because they're going to come out in huge numbers if he is. What was that?
Yeah, well, Dr. Holdsworth was on earlier today on Jack's show, and they did the demographic, and they said Powhatan, who was gun activist, really came out.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the bottom line is that, in my opinion, when we have a certain party, again, that take people for granted, and again, it was Michael Steele, the black Republican, which said, and I quote, "When I come into the room, those white guys are afraid of me." That's Michael Steele, and yes, I get what Nicole about.
Mr. Kiss Up said that.
Thank you, Reggie. Tell everybody I want to see your show, friend.
Steele is ridiculous.
Every Saturday from 11:45 to 1. And real quick, Virginia State, Virginia Union will play the Ash Center December 6th at 4 o'clock, and it will be dubbed the Battle of I-95. We're already going to have a trophy presentation after the game. So please come out and support
us. Go Trojans.
Oh, okay, let's
that's right. And we're going to whip some butt this Saturday,
there
too.
You go.
Going back
there
to
you
take
go.
Care of our title.
There you go. Let me go to line two. Scotty, how are you, friend?
I'm not going to complain too much. Greetings to everyone that's on the panel, and of course to you, Tanya.
Thank you.
I just want to short answer to your question is no. Neither the Republicans nor in the Democratic debates have they been discussing any issues that are, I feel like, at the top of my priority list as a black voter, as a member of a group with specific demands and interests, just like some of these other groups out there, like the Hispanics and immigration and the Jews in terms of getting welfare for Israel. And so none of the issues that I feel like is important to our community, whether you want to talk about modern slavery, also known as mass incarceration, I felt like Bernie Sanders missed a great opportunity to discuss his Justice Is Not For Sale Act, which would abolish private prisons. But there has been some movement on some of our issues that is not being widely talked about, like the fact that also in that bill it addresses the exorbitant prices, the price gouging that is going on telephone calls as it pertains to, you know, these families being able to stay in contact with a person who's on a private prison plantation.
Right.
And so the FCC did just recently move to regulate that. And so that, you know, I'm seeing movement on the Democratic side in discussing some of these issues, but not in the debates. These issues in the, you know, I don't really expect them to be talked about by the GOP. All I'm hearing from the GOP is the same things that I heard the last debate and the debate before that, and now they're trying to do a throwback to the 1980s and talking about Putin, you know, trying to reach like we're involved in the Cold War or whatnot. None of those, I'm not going to say foreign policy issues don't affect us because our children are being sent off to war to die disproportionately because of the lack of resources. We have to join the military like I did to get college money. So yes, foreign policy issues are important, but I'm not hearing anything different that I haven't heard from the GOP and Democratic, what would we call those, neoliberals. Neoliberals are closely related to neoconservatives, except for they disagree on gay marriage. But I'm not hearing anything on the issues that is important to me in belonging to the black voter block.
Scotty, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
If you did hear something, you still wouldn't vote for him, would you? You wouldn't vote for a Republican, would you? Be honest.
I voted. Let me answer your question. Yes, but there's no current Republican who has the background in advocating for the issues. I voted for Ron Paul in 2008. I did not vote for Barack Obama in 2012. I voted for the Libertarian candidate, Gary Johnson. And because I voted for Gary Johnson, the Libertarians now have total ballot access in North Carolina, which is, I wasn't really voting specifically for Gary Johnson, even though the Libertarians do speak to ending mass incarceration by ending the drug war. So yes, I would vote for, I'm not a partisan person. I don't fall into that, what I feel like is high school hygiene.
Yeah, you got a label on me. I'm with you, Scott. I don't have a label on me either. Scott, tell everybody and listen to your show.
Please tune in to New Abolitionist Radio at 8 o'clock p.m. Tonight. That's Eastern Time, of course, where we will talk about those issues we're not hearing about in the debates from the Democrats or the Republican, and that issue is modern-day slavery and human trafficking. Thank you.
Good conversation. Thank you, Scotty. I'm with Scotty. I don't wear a label either.
That's
because
fine. That's where he's coming from.
Yeah.
But can you guys tell me what is modern-day slavery? I hear that term a lot. Can anybody define that for me?
Mass incarceration and being racially profiled.
Okay. That's racially profiled.
Modern day slavery. When you have been systematically disenfranchised from the system and unable to climb back into it, it is a modern day slavery. When you come out of the jail system and you are a convicted felon, you have no education.
Just walking out on the street and you're being targeted.
You're not allowed to vote.
Just because of the color of your skin.
You're not allowed to vote. When?
No, when you're a convicted felon.
That goes for everybody. It's not only for blacks. It goes for everybody.
But the majority of your people who are incarcerated are majority.
And all the majority of people
and the system won't allow you to have.
No. But the point of the matter is a form of racism.
Even though you let yourself
that's not true.
What you're saying?
No. It's an act of slavery.
Let me say something, Doc. You saying something about...
Oh, wait a minute. Hold it. We got to take a break.
Oh, God.
Life is like a big merry-go-round. You're up and then down. Going in circles trying to get to where you are. Everybody's been counting you out. But where are they? In the same old place, just faces in the crowd. We all make mistakes. You might fall on your face, but you gotta get out. I'd rather stand tall than live on my knees. Cause I have a to fight. You never know where the road will lead you. Not everyone's gonna believe you. And even though they're wrong, don't prove it right. I'd rather stand tall.
This is the Tanya Free and Friends Network, coast to coast, on air, online, and on point.
You're listening to AMFM 247, music you love from the 40s, 50s, and 60s. Best talk radio all day and every day.
Do you use Viagra or Cialis? Have you been thinking about trying Viagra or Cialis? What if we could promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for Viagra, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $3. We'll do the math for you. You save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 40 blue pills or 40 yellow pills for $99 and add 4 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next.
You need to call 800-610-3497 and get your 44 pills for $99.
Stop overpaying for Viagra. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in an unmarked package.
Call us right now, 800-610-3497, 800-610-3497. That's 800-610-3497.
Conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free 844-321-1010.
We're going to go back to the phones. I know Scotty is going to give us a definition of modern day slavery for Gilbert. Go ahead, Scotty.
Yes, the definition of modern-day slavery and human trafficking, the things that you all mentioned are a part of it, but they are symptoms. We are not talking about metaphorical slavery. We're talking about slavery. If anybody has read the 13th Amendment, and again, thank you, Tanya, that's why every time I come on here, I don't mention my other programs. I mention New Abolitionist Radio. Mm-hmm. So that is a resource that comes on a weekly that you can find out what modern-day slavery and human trafficking is. Now, it is we're not talking metaphorical slavery because slavery was never abolished. If you read the 13th Amendment, I'll try to remember it precisely, but slavery and the voluntary servitude was abolished except for punishment for crime where a party has been duly convicted by a jury of their peers. We know immediately following post-1865 slavery, that black codes were passed, the private prisons were erected, black people were targeted for prison slavery. So 13th Amendment didn't abolish slavery, it amended, it literally amended slavery, changing the parameters under which one could be enslaved. But I mentioned Bernie Sanders' bill, the Justice is Not for Sale Act 2015, would abolish all private prisons in the United States. United States because it's a $7 billion a year industry. Mm-hmm. And that's just a private prison. That's not even include the government and the state government. And then the corporations using prison slave labor where they're literally paying prisoners slave wages. That's where that term comes from. And one last important point. In 1850, there were 500,000 free Africans or free black people. Now, every African descended person was enslaved, and that's something that we need to make clear because it's the same as today. All of us are not enslaved, but there are one too many people who are enslaved under the 13th Amendment, and that's why we call it modern slavery and human trafficking. Yeah, it's just a continuation.
Because people are incarcerated and not making anything, no money. The little money they're making, they can't live off that.
Scotty, maybe I missed something. Are you saying that the people in prison, they shouldn't be in prison, African-American?
That's why I voted for Ron Paul.
No, man, that's my question.
I voted for Gary Johnson.
Should we open 70%,
let me answer your question, give you some facts. Right. Upwards of 70% of all incarcerated or enslaved persons are in there for nonviolent, victimless drug crimes.
That's black and white or just black?
Say that again.
That's black and white or black?
Majority black.
Let him
majority
answer.
Black, but now you see that there's a heroin epidemic in the white community, and the president and all the white parents are calling for a kinder, gentler drug war. It's not there.
What color is the president?
I don't play that colorism.
Okay, all right. You said it.
But why did you ask that question?
What's the significance of all people?
He didn't call for blacks. He just said it himself.
I just said what?
Did the president call for softer crime?
No, said the people.
No,
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
people in the community.
And the president responded to the white community by coming out with a multi-$1 million package specifically for y'all area of the country. All them hillbillies up there getting hooked on their heroin after they've been hooked on prescription drugs. So he's looking at getting them treatment and not sending them to prison. And he's just responding to other Americans who have come together and made that call. And they got more political power than we do because we don't seem to understand how politics work.
Evidently.
They don't understand how it works either.
They
just want the power.
He was in office for 8 years.
About it. They just want the power. They're not working for the people.
President Obama has done some things to try to address modern day slavery and human trafficking.
Great things.
But he is not a dictator, and he can't snap his fingers. He has to work with a Congress.
So we should let prisoners out of prison.
Yes.
Well,
to release 6,000. People who got these hard,
right? Because a lot of them were non-violent crimes, and a lot of them were serving crimes like 10 and 20 years for crimes that white folks were doing and serving like maybe 6 months.
I agree on that. I do not disagree on that. I mean, I agree with that. It should be fair across the line.
I don't look at this issue as white and black. I don't think anyone should be enslaved over non-violent, victimless so-called crimes. I think drug addicts should be helped if they want their help.
Right.
I agree.
Okay.
Thank you.
Gilbert, we on the same page, Gilbert?
I'm on the same page. Okay. He talking like he want to open the prison up, let everybody go. I'm like, no, you can't do that. You can't open the prison, let everybody walk out free.
But we were being targeted and being sentenced a lot harsher.
Well, that should be looked at by the criminal justice system. And
people, that's the other thing we're talking about.
You have black prosecutors. Do you realize that?
Let me say something to you.
Black prosecutors. I'm just saying it's not white people putting black people away. It's black people putting people away.
What are you talking about?
In the judicial system.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Let me hear you. You have black judges, right?
You got a few.
Let me finish. You have black judges. You have black prosecutors.
Yeah.
Is that right? Well, who's prosecuting those people? All those people?
No, come on, back up here.
No, Gilbert.
Back
no,
up here.
I can't go with you on that. No, where you get that from?
Back up.
Where you get that from?
Mr. Gilbert.
Okay, give us a case in point. Where did you get that from?
He know better. He know better.
Okay, Mr. Gilbert.
He know better.
So we don't have. Are you guys saying we don't have no black?
Let me say something to you.
You're making a blanket statement like it's in like it's across the board.
Yeah, you're skipping.
Okay, give us a percentage then. Give us some facts. Give us some facts.
All these black people not locked up. What you guys are saying is that black people are white people are locking up black people.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying that you have black judges. You have in Atlanta. You have it in Richmond. You have it in D.C. These are black people giving black people punishment for crimes that they've done.
Have you ever driven in Hanover County?
We're talking about D.C.
I'm talking about Virginia. Have you ever driven?
I'm talking about across the country.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's across the board.
Dr. Robinson make his point. Go ahead.
I'm across the board. I know Hanover County. Look, I agree with you on Hanover County because I got friends in prison because of craziness in Hanover County.
Okay, so take that particular case. Is it a black person locking up a black person, which you just said? Is that
no, that was not. Okay. But I'm just saying across the board, it's not blacks, whites locking up blacks. It's
yes, it is. Okay. It has always been.
D.C., Atlanta, Georgia.
Listen to me. In recent years, black judges and black prosecutors have come along. It's not like they were back there in the 60s, 70s, early 80s. A bunch of black judges and prosecutors were back there then. Just a few years ago, 5, 6, 8 years ago or something like that, maybe a smidgen longer. But overall, it was the white judges, white prosecutors, white lawyers all working in conjunction. And that's what they were doing. And you were saying something about, you know, this person or that person incarcerated. Do you know it's about a third of those people that's in prison didn't do nothing?
What? Let me
that word,
do you understand that fact?
That's a fact.
That's a fact. Okay. I don't know how many numbers this, but, you know, I've been working in the judicial system for 27 years.
Okay.
I see black people going off the prison.
Okay.
I hear them. I hear that when I've been listening to them, they read the record of these habitual. It's habitual. They've been given chance and chance again to rehabilitate.
Some people
get on parole. Or whatever.
Some people
they go right back. There was a guy I hear somewhere last week that was out for 90 days.
Okay,
he'd been in prison 7 years. Black guy.
Okay,
prison 7 days. He had for 90 days. They caught him with heroin in his pocket and a bunch of pills. You've been out 90 days.
But did someone get him help? That's what and what Scotty just said.
The judicial system, prison system is not designed to rehabilitate anybody.
Okay, it's not a rehabilitation center.
It's a hotel. It's a multi-year hotel for young people that get rehired to the cop.
Tony, this is what happens.
Some of them are not used to.
People will get on drugs and say, "It's your responsibility to rehabilitate me
to rehabilitate me,
get me off of drugs." I mean, society is responsible for rehabilitating me. That's what it comes down
to. Society should rehabilitate.
You can't be rehabilitated unless you really want to.
You can't.
I mean, that's the reality.
You throw the responsibility of somebody else being your keeper.
I'm gonna get on drugs, okay?
I'm gonna get on crack cocaine. It's your job to get me off. You gotta rehabilitate me. I don't care how much money it costs you, but it's your job to get me off of crack cocaine.
Do you understand?
But it's my job to spend money to keep you locked up.
One way or the other.
Either
you lock me up, so, I committed a crime. So you have one, two things
well,
to do.
Some things shouldn't be crimes.
So let me ask you a question.
If I'm going to break in Tanya's house.
Or if whether you're black or white, everybody is being sentenced on the same. Not one person gets more time.
That's a problem we need to deal with within the judicial system.
That's
why we agree on that.
Can I share a fact?
Go ahead, Danny.
There was a guy, white man, up there in Washington, D.C. He's a senator or a representative. And he submitted a bill to become law. And here what it entails. Those people who uses crack cocaine is going to get double the time that, you know, people using
cocaine.
Regular cocaine. Powdered cocaine. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. And they asked him, and I was sitting there watching it, and I was so stunned when he said this. He said, yeah, I committed, I submitted the bill. He said, the reason why I did it is because black people use more crack. Mm-hmm. and it's more violent than the powdered cocaine. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? I mean, that's how brave they are. They'll just let you know, yeah, I did it for black folks. I did it so we can lock them up. You see what I'm saying?
And they end up serving a whole lot more time than folks doing cocaine.
They do that on purpose. And then Maxine Waters, 10, 12 years ago, they got proof that when Ronald Reagan was in office dealing with those Contras and the Sandinistas and all that old crazy stuff, Ronald Reagan did some kind of stuff about money. And during that time, they had this thing set up where the military was allowing drugs to come through California. You know, and they got facts. They got facts about that. They were doing investigations about that. So this thing about drugs have been planned to destroy our communities for years. This is nothing that...
Well, why don't we say no?
This is nothing that somebody just brought to you. Listen.
Why don't you just say no to drugs?
You can't just, because people don't want to say no, because this is not
then
a...
Who's
you can't
say no.
Let me say something. This is not a perfect world, sir. You're trying to make it seem like this is a perfect world we live in, but we don't matter.
Non-union drugs?
It's a whole lot of people. It's a whole lot of people don't
want to say no. Don't ask me that question, Tony.
But it's a whole lot of people.
I'm going to shoot y'all.
It's a whole lot of people don't use drugs.
Bring it.
Well, my thing is this one thing. Go back to the question originally asked.
Yeah, bring it.
Why aren't our presidential candidates addressing these issues that we're currently talking about? Or why do we not hold them accountable?
But we are. But we are. Yes, we are.
He just talked about a politician that was passing a law targeted us.
My time.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes. Black Lives Matter is in their face. We have to get out, and that's why they don't like him. Because it's the criminal justice system that needs to be reformed, regardless of anything else. For black folk, our mission should be the reform of the criminal justice system.
That's right. That's
the
right.
Unfairness of the criminal
That's
justice
right.
system.
That's
and
right.
Black Lives Matter is in their face, and they don't like that.
Okay, but you can be in their face all you want to, but if you do not get a true or sound commitment of some kind, and honestly, I am so tired of us saying that okay, they're going to do this and they're going to do that.
That's right.
I would need them to do something right now if they want our vote.
You know
what,
Tanya? Check us out.
Plain and simple.
But check us out.
We need to come up with two or three things.
It's that Congress.
Okay, hey, I'm gonna take a break. Come back.
Right on the tip of my tongue.
Every
tongue.
Day, every time I pray, I'm
us while we pray for you. Every day we pray for you. Till the day we meet again. In my heart is where I keep you, friend. Memories give me the strength I need to proceed. Strength I need to believe. My thoughts big, I just can't define. Wish I could turn back the hands of time. Us in the six, shop for new clothes and kicks. You and me taking flicks. Making hits, stages they receive you on. Still can't believe you're gone. Give anything to hear half your breath. I know you're still living your
every
life after
step
death.
By day, every move I make.
Hey, hey, this is Coffee Black, coming through to bring you the latest in sports, celebrity, and entertainment news. Here's the sip this week. So, Halle Berry's on her way to being single again. She filed for divorce from Olivia Martinez. Given they have a prenup in place, this shouldn't get ugly. But now the question, what really happened, girl? Poor Halle, she about to get the crazy ex-wife label again. And Chloe has spoken. Although she caught up the divorce, she made it clear that she and Lamar aren't together. And she's still keeping James Harden as an option. So there's a couple ways to look at this. Yeah, she can make sound medical decisions for Lamar, or she'll get paid if he suddenly declines and dies. Jury's still out. Pierre Garçon has filed a lawsuit against FanDuel saying they've used his image and likeness without permission. FanDuel said they ain't worried, but if this does go somewhere legally, just think how ugly this could get across the league. Rick Ross is no longer in house arrest. He can leave Georgia with permission now, as long as he doesn't go near the victim he allegedly pistol whipped. What kind of house arrest was he on? I know I've seen him out in these streets. And it looks like a petition has started to get Raven Simone out of here. Well, on The View anyway. We shall see what happens with it. I think as long as she fake apologizes after her crazy comments, they'll keep her off of ratings. You know, culinary rules 101. I'm just saying. Check out more on my site, thesipofcoffeeblack.com, and tune in next week on the new musicexchangeradio.com for The Sip with Coffee Black. No sugar, no cream.
The New Orleans Talk Network, now on your mobile device.
On your computer.
In your ear. And interactive. It's new. It's innovative. And it's on your mobile device.
Android.
iPhone. iPad. And on your computer.
Take us wherever you go.
Because we're interactive. 504-341-TALK. That's 504-341-8255.
Are you nearing eligibility for Medicare benefits? Then you know now is an important time in your life. Medicare benefits can be a complicated puzzle. You don't want to overpay for your Medicare coverage or get the wrong plan. Let Health Markets Insurance Agency help you. With one free phone call, a licensed insurance agent will help you select a Medicare plan that's right for you and your budget. If you're becoming eligible for Medicare, call today and learn how to get the most out of your benefits.
800-365-6303. 800-365-6303.
Health Markets Insurance Agency is the DBA or assumed name of InSphere Insurance Solutions, Inc., which is an authorized insurance agency in all 50 states and the District of Columbia. Not all agents are licensed to sell all products. Service and product availability varies by state.
Call 800-365-6303. 800-365-6303. 800-365-6303. That's 800-365-6303.
Check out the Tanya Free and Friends Rewind every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern on the May We Help You Radio Network at MWHWRadio.com.
Trying to find someone to take your place. It was all in vain. No, their lips were never quite the same. No, baby. While I was kissing someone new, deep inside I was missing you.
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free
844-321-1010. Okay, let's go to the phone. Sunshine, our friend is on the phone. Hi, Sunshine. How are you?
Yes, I wanted to know who's this guy. What is this guy name right here in the blue shirt?
Gilbert.
Who is it?
Gilbert. Gilbert.
Get him, Sunshine.
All right, Sunshine.
He got me tripping. I'm laughing. He makes some valid points, though.
Yeah, you know okay. My new Sunshine. Can I get you in my fan base?
database?
Yes, don't do it. Don't do it.
What's his name, the one in the blue shirt?
Gilbert.
Gilbert. I like him.
Thank you, Sunshine. One fan out there in America.
There you go.
That's good.
Thank you, Sunshine. Let me ask you, Sunshine. Are the Republicans and the Democrats addressing the issues that are important to you?
No, not neither one of Donald Trump or show. Ben Carson, I like he's slow.
Yes, he is.
And Hillary worried about if she's going to get indicted, so I don't know what's going on.
I know. It's an interesting bunch. It really is. And you're right. Ben Carson now in the lead, and he is so laid back. I'm just still puzzled.
Hey, let that nigga sleep.
No, hold it. No. See, what happens, you guys take a sign of humility as being a weakness. Just because, I'm serious.
Humility? What are you talking about?
No, just because he's soft-spoken and stuff like that.
Wait a minute. You all call Trump, President Obama weak. Now, you
policy-wise.
We need to get to that point. Ben Carson is not even, I don't think... Talk about
being politics. He doesn't know what a deficit is.
Right, exactly. Oh, they asked him the other week about...
He doesn't have a clue.
About it was a deficit? It was something. Yeah.
They asked him about
and,
the deficit.
Yeah, the deficit. He couldn't answer the question.
He didn't have a clue.
So he has no political experience.
He doesn't know nothing.
How on earth are you all comfortable with him being president?
I'm very comfortable with him.
Look, they're the same people that had
Thank
that.
Thank you, Sunshine.
What was that guy, Kingfish, that they had last year?
Sunshine.
999
Yeah, that guy that owned the pizza company.
He was number one for a minute, wasn't he?
Until the woman came out and said she had sex with him.
Right.
You guys gonna turn? You remember? What's the guy that created the Ford automobile? Created the Ford. Come on,
okay. The Ford automobile.
Yeah, the creator of the Ford automobile.
Henry Ford.
Okay,
don't forget that. Henry Ford was an ignorant guy. Ignorant, but you know what he did.
Why do you say that? Let me ask that question so everybody.
It was national known. He was ignorant.
Okay,
but
he invented a car.
People joked at him because he was ignorant.
He invented a car.
Oh, what a surprise!
Thank you, Tanya. Yes, tomorrow.
Oh, thank you, Tanya.
What a surprise.
Is that a carrot cake, too?
Yes.
Oh, you go.
Is that a sweet topping? Is that a sweet topping or cream type?
I'm not sure which it is. Now, y'all know y'all get a knife and place and all that. And thanks to all of my friends, the listening friends that have sent me happy birthday wishes. I truly do appreciate it. Thank you all so very much. So sweet.
And I'm not happy because we had some good topics that we couldn't finish.
I know.
Like what did President Obama do?
Let's go back to that one second.
We didn't get a chance to tell him.
Remember you said that when he first got to office, he couldn't do anything because of Republicans? Guess what? When he first came to office, the Democrats had the House and the Senate.
You're right.
You can't blame Republicans when you get the House and the Senate.
Let me get it. When Clinton left office, he had a surplus.
A surplus.
This man started two wars that he didn't factor into the budget.
Who?
George Bush.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
President Bush.
Two wars that was not put into the budget.
I'm not here for Bush.
Then he cut taxes across the board. Well, he got that kind of deficit.
I'm not here for Bush.
And do you remember Wall Street?
What I'm saying, the Republican Party cut the taxes. We had that the automobile industry went down.
The Wall
10% unemployment.
Unemployment was sky high.
10% or better.
Do you know what happened in the Bush administration? The Tea Party was formed.
Two wars. Because they
disliked what Bush was doing regarding.
Well, they shouldn't.
Talk.
He wasn't doing anything. Isn't Bush a Republican?
But the question was,
but the Republican, what did Obama
steal,
do?
And you all are still, and you all are still fighting within the party.
Because we don't, if you don't hold
that's John Boehner. That's John Boehner.
We are still holding fast. If you don't, I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican, we'll kick you out if you don't fold. They
but
who
pulled us?
Who
pulled us out of that over
the
last 8 years?
Who pulled
us? No choice. Yeah,
who pulled us?
The housing industry, the banking industry.
Everything.
The automobile industry
and unemployment, and guess who paid for it?
We needed to pay for it.
We had to pay for it.
Channing Halliburton made all the money on the
bus. Yeah, exactly.
How many went to jail?
How many should have gone to jail? It was the Obama administration. Nobody should have went up for war crimes. And the only reason why they could not go after him for war crime because he was a sitting president. It would have been illegal.
Ho, ho, ho. A president can't declare war. I'm sorry. Congress declared war, including
Congress.
Hillary Clinton. Okay? Don't go there and play Bush.
Go ahead and jump in here with your comments.
You better get out the bushes on that one.
Because you're blaming President Obama. Oh, President Obama brought us out of almost a devastating depression.
That was his job, wasn't it?
That was his job. But you know what?
He didn't have a choice.
But he didn't have no help from the Republicans. He didn't have no help from them scoundrels. Yeah. And let me tell you something.
None.
I don't understand how you can be a complete Republican when all they do is deny everything. They try to deny. Now listen. You can't tell me what I don't know because I've been keeping up with them jokers for a long time.
Me too.
They don't want to do nothing good for
they
the
have
country.
No intention.
Right. You can't name
and have not done anything.
And they always
and
throw
they
up.
Won't.
They oh, always good. Throw up Ronald Reagan. Let me say this to you.
I can name them.
Now let me say something to you. They always throw up Ronald Reagan. Anytime you hear politicians talk about Ronald Reagan, that's a code word for oppression to me.
Oh, really?
Because Ronald Reagan was one of the racist people on this planet.
The most racist.
Yes. Mm. Do you know when Ronald Reagan ran for office in the 60s or early 70s, he in Goldwater? I mean, you should hear the things they were talking about, what they're going to do to black people and how what they were going to feed black people. I mean, it was some crazy stuff.
Did you hear Nixon's tape?
So what they did.
Have you heard Nixon's tape?
No, I haven't. So what they did, they shut Ronald Reagan up for some years. Then they brought him back and had him run again.
As a Democrat.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you see what I'm saying? They had him run again.
No, but he was a Democrat, they had him come back as a Republican.
Yeah. But when you hear people talk about Ronald Reagan, those people that's running now, they always talk about Ronald Reagan. See, that's a cold
Ronald
word.
Ronald Reagan had to come back on track.
That's a cold word.
Well, he did not.
And
think
did.
About
this.
They bring up
Reagan, but not
Cut
Bush.
That cake.
Yes.
And not Bush.
You see what I'm
that's
saying?
That's interesting, too.
And that's why I believe Jeb,
that's another reason why Jeb is having such a hard time.
Ronald Reagan's son, Ron Jr., and it got a sister named Maureen or something. They couldn't stand
this man's politics.
They wouldn't even be in the White House.
Ronald Reagan did not get elected and not taking orders from his two kids. Okay? Don't even accuse him of whether they hated him or not. He wasn't responsible for them. He was responsible for the country.
They hated his.
So
they
what?
Hated his politics.
So what?
Because
they knew he was about dividing the country.
He was supposed to change his politics because his kids disliked
him. No, he could come with that stupid stuff.
Unbelievable. You know, they knew it.
Little black girl asked him a question one day. Mr. Reagan's. You know, she asked him something. It was a gotcha question. I can't remember. And you know what he did? I still can see that picture. He did like this.
Well, I try to do the best I can for
the Alzheimer's.
He said, honest to God, I try to do the best I can for the blacks. You know, I said, look at this.
Let me ask you guys something. Before Martin Luther King came along, how many Democratic presidents were there that could have fought to free black slaves but did not?
I'm going to ask your question, Mr. Gill.
They were Democrats that could have freed slaves, isn't that true? Just answer the question.
They were not going to free slavery because many of them were not Democrats at that time, that were true Democrats.
That's the point that he's trying to
Democratic Party
right, there you go.
At that time, were not for black people.
Right.
That's
they
right.
Were not and true we Democrats, were Republicans. They were Democrats. Right. Exactly.
And that's
exactly
what I'm trying to tell
you. Okay,
Gilbert,
that was a trick question. We got you. That was a trick question. He was trying. We got you. I'm like, wait a minute.
Ask
wait a minute.
Historian
yeah,
me.
Exactly.
I'll go there with
they
you.
Weren't true Democrats. You knew that.
That's right. Because they
got to catch
us. Tanya. Look at
that. That's what I was
saying. Tanya, those early presidents were slave owners, too.
Right.
Exactly. So what he's saying that.
So there were no Democratic.
No, at that time, the Republicans were.
Were there any Democratic presidents that ran on a Democratic ticket?
But they weren't true Democrats like we know today.
Oh.
That's what we're talking about.
So we had all Republicans and no Democrats were elected.
The party's changed.
I'm having an odd moment here, y'all.
Yes. Come on, Gil. Come on, Gil. You know the answer.
You just can't accept the fact that there were Democratic presidents that did not work to free the slaves.
No,
they were Democrats, but they were really true.
But so
there really
was,
more
there was no,
they were.
So there were never any Democratic presidents.
Just because they were Democrats doesn't mean they were racist and against black people.
Okay, let me say they weren't liberal.
Oh, you already knew the lesson.
Y'all have taught me a lesson.
You already know.
All the Republicans up to Reagan and beyond.
I'm gonna send your article that our good. Wait a minute. I'm gonna send your article that our good friend Marty Jewell sent me. That is
Marty
epic,
is not a scholar.
But it's
okay?
The article he sent me is very.
But you
talk
about
good.
My friend Marty.
It's very good. And I'm gonna send it to
we're
you. We're
talking about you, Marty. If you
so,
out
if you asking a question as far as Democrats and liberals and all of that, okay, we out of time. As always, I thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for allowing us opportunity to speak.
Yeah, we're
and
just getting started.
Thanks to our friends, Ifia, Wangaza, and of course, Bill, Dr. Robinson, Gilbert, Danny, Antoinette, Coffee Black, Viera, Jeremiah, Lynn, El Bravado, Rosa Duck, Marcus, and Mr. Free. I'm Tanya Free. Till next time, be free. Remember to live life with a pair.
Joining us for this installment of Tanya Free and Friends Talk Radio. Don't forget, the conversation continues 24/7 at tanyafree.com. Keep up with the hottest topics of the day. Post your comments, opinions, and more. All at tanyafree.com. On air, online, and on point. The views and opinions expressed by the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of the host and or this station. Tanya Free and Friends Radio is a production of Freedom Marketing, Inc. All rights reserved.